Hello and welcome to another edition of Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papagiorgio, joined today by the lovely, really, and vaginally tight, I may add, Dan Fields.
Very, very vaginally, anally tight, too.
Everything on you, just like the day you were born. This is technically,
well,
I guess, the...
Not
the...
true. I have a very loose dick hole.
Oh, God. We will get to that one in like 2 seconds, and I don't mean that in a brush off way. I actually have a horrible dick hole story I can tell. But let me just crap out the intro. This
Please.
Is the 400th episode, and you can tell I'm really doing something special for it because I am in my boxers in my room recording this one via Skype.
Nice.
I can't even tell if the levels are good, but I hope they are. I hope they're close.
I think they will be. And really, congrats on 400. And I appreciate the honor of being able to, you know, jump on the mic here with you and chat for a bit.
You know what? It just worked out that way. But when I knew it was, I was like, yeah, fuck it. That's kind of fun. It's silly. It's a little cuckoo bananas, really.
Hey, you just said the F word, man.
Yeah. We're going to keep this one dirty.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's the pass.
All right. I guess when I start talking about a loose dick hole, that made it pretty dirty, too.
Yeah. Once I heard that, it no holds barred right there.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Well, again, congrats. 400. Oh, my gosh. I have my 100th coming up this week. And
well, congrats there. You can just paste this one and use that as the episode, too.
There you go. Maybe I will.
Pure laziness. the show's website's inpapasbasement.com. Go there to download pretty much every episode of the show, I believe, at this point, and also to find the links to subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. Are you on both of those, Dan?
Yeah, I am. I don't get too much love from Stitcher, but I'm definitely on iTunes. And my show is called Save It for the Show, and you can go check that out at saveitfortheshow.com. And there's that. There's my plug. I'm out. I'm gonna hang up now, if that's cool.
All's accomplished. You have been exposed to my massive audience of tens.
Sure. Hey, right there with mine own, my friend.
Has your audience grown, like, at all, really, or no? Because I would have to say no for me.
It's been tricky. Every once in a while, I'll have a day where my stats, it's like, vroom, like a couple hundred. And then it's like, romp, back down to the 10.
Those days are the worst.
I know. It's hard to say. And the whole stat game is such black magic, you know, mumbo jumbo anyways. It's hard to tell. But I like to think it's growing. I mean, I like to think a few brick by brick people are coming, but... You know, kind of like we talked when you were on my show, God damn if it's not a slog.
It takes forever, and not just that, you lose the ones you had. That's what really makes it bad when you learn words like retention and all that shit. And you're like, wait a minute, I'm that damn good. You're supposed to hear me once, and once I got my chance, your heart has been won.
Right.
What's going on here?
Totally.
And that really is what gets me when someone is like, yeah, I have like 10 months worth to catch up on. I'm like, that's not catching up. You just stopped listening at this point.
Yeah, no, you're gone. Especially if like a good friend of mine, I'll be like, yeah, I haven't listened to your show in a while. And I want to say, dude, it's been so good lately. What are you talking about? If you don't sleep on the new episode of Game of Thrones, you watch that shit on Sunday night.
Yeah, I feel, and that's what is driving me nuts too. I feel the show has gotten better. What I'm doing, I've gotten funnier. Not this episode. I'm paddling upriver on this one. I'm sitting in my room, sweating my balls off, again, in a creaky chair, holding a 10-pound Yeti microphone.
Hey, listen, the episode just started. You don't know how funny it's going
to
be.
Give it time. Give it time to disappoint. That's my motto.
But you feel like you've gotten stronger and better as a comedian and broadcaster?
Yeah, I really do, honestly. I feel there's less dead air. I mean, there's people out there, this is what blows my mind, they'll do podcasts and then you just see them editing it for hours afterward, like they shot fucking Apocalypse Now,
right? Yeah.
I don't get, especially with the audience of nothing you typically have with a podcast.
Know, and people, it sounds like you and I are similar. I record it, takes about an hour. I listen to it. I don't edit it. I just listen, and then I
difference
post.
Difference number
it.
One. Continue.
Oh, you don't listen to
never.
Yours?
No.
Oh. Well, I guess I listened to it once. Just to say,
I've heard a collective 15 to 20 minutes of my show.
Oh wow, geez. Well, I at least get. I'm not one of these guys like when I'm on the Tonight Show and I say, "Nah, I never watch my own movies."
No,
but I listen. I listen once. At least
I can't
once.
Take it. I hate the sound of my own voice.
Well, I think the one thing it's done is it's helped me get a little better, especially if I have a weird, like I say, or like, or anything.
Everyone
like
says
that.
A lot. That's a hard one to get out of.
It sure is. But I think what you're saying about other people's shows, and everyone likes to say, you and I met because we are on Reddit or something like that, and people always say,
they're trolling gone wild. Asians gone wild, specifically.
Especially Asians. And the thing is, like, everyone, every day, someone posts on there, why is no one listening to my podcast? It's not catching on. Nobody likes it. And then some dumbass writes, you got to be doing it for you. You got to be doing it for the love of the show.
It's true, because that's the only person you'll ever be doing it for.
Well, that's crap. Anyone that does anything wants to be successful at it. Whether you're a cook or a painter or having sex, you want to be good at it. And your show is the same thing. So
you're making the show so it can be listened to. A podcast without the podcasting element is called a conversation. Like, right. I call you on the phone and we do this. That's what a podcast without a goddamn audience is.
Right, exactly. So just record yourself in your basement and don't put it on the internet if you're under this delusion that you're not doing it for other people. You are doing it for other people. Own up to that and be honest.
Are you still really active in the Reddit podcast thing? I've kind of tapped out lately.
No, it's a joke. Everything on there is like, how do I get listeners?
It's all a circle jerk, yeah.
Or like, what mic should I buy? It's like, dude, just fuck Google, right? Google it or look at, there's 1,000 threads on that Reddit about what goddamn mic to buy. Give me a break.
No, I'm with you 100%. I take the time to post like the episodes so that every other asshole who's posting their episode in the thread will see the name of mine, and I won't listen to their show and they won't listen to my show, and right. We won't upvote each other's shit. And,
exactly.
You know, I think I got one listener from Reddit Radio. Hell, let me give the guy a shout out right now, because he's the last message I got in the past 3 goddamn months on my Facebook page. What's the guy's name? God damn it.
Yeah, he deserves one. Good.
Yeah. Sorry. They've switched the Facebook layout for like the 80th time in the past 6 months.
Why you look for that? You touched on something that's so true about podcasting. Is none of us listen to each other's.
Hell no.
We just don't, because we have not enough time. We're doing our own. And if we do have time for a podcast, we listen to professional ones. So we're sort of our own worst enemy. We don't listen to other people's shows. So how do we expect other people to listen to ours?
That is why I take no one to task regarding it.
No, you can't. You can't.
Sorry, I cannot find messages on Facebook. God damn it. Yeah.
That's
I try not to be that asshole that bitches about it, but you know what? That's annoying. Wanted to give the guy a shout out. I'll forget 10 minutes after the show ends, much less by the time we're recording another episode.
I'm sorry, but you're right.
Okay, Daniel, it's okay.
That Reddit is a joke. And, you know, even when you and I did our show, I posted in there and said, hey, I met John on this Reddit. We talk a bit about this thread. We talk about podcasting. Thought you guys would enjoy this. And one of the moderators took it down for being self-promotion and spam. And I wrote the guy and I said, you got to be fucking kidding me. I mean, I'm sorry I'm not asking what microphone to buy. Or a thinly veiled, hey, review my podcast, please. Tell me what you like. No, these are people who are just begging for listens as reviews. Enough of that Reddit. It's silly.
No, I've burned out on it entirely. I am now 100% doing the show for me. But also, I think I'm going to add a t-shirt selling element in the near future, because I figure maybe that'll get a few bucks. Sure as shit won't be the podcast that does.
Nice. Good for you. But I wanted to get a t-shirt rolling myself, and I had a fan of the show and a really great illustrator, mm-hmm. but we just couldn't come to terms on it. I wasn't feeling what he was doing, and he was doing it for free. So I said, look, man,
I hate that you can't shit on a friend doing something for free.
Totally. So I was honest with them, and it just didn't work out. But yeah, I think a shirt would be a great idea.
Not even a shirt just for the show, but for everything. Isn't that how Penny Arcade became huge? And you can correct me on that, or maybe you don't know what the hell Penny Arcade is.
Oh, no, I barely do. Yeah, I like Penny Arcade for sure.
Okay. Weren't they initially a webcomic, another thing that just does nothing online? And I write one of those as well. I love not getting recognized for a goddamn effort.
Oh, man.
Check out spookiescomic.com. There's your plug, Spookies. There's synergy. So I do that, and if I remember correctly, Penny Arcade was like, I want to say came out, what, 98 or something? Like,
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, back when you could actually make something online and it was so fresh that people really would share it in a viral sense. Like Maddox. If you remember Maddox, that was just a goddamn blog.
Yeah.
Like a witty blog that 1,000 people have done since, but it was the first, and Maddox got book deals off of it.
Totally.
Sure. Penny Arcade was kind of the same thing, where it had some traction as a comic, but correct me if I'm wrong, aren't they huge? And what got them over the hump was they became like this geek t-shirt seller.
Not only that, but they have their own video game convention and pins, and they make video games now. I mean, they've, from a business standpoint, they diversified like crazy. And
Yeah.
And now they, those guys have got to be rolling in dough.
And that's the problem. It's they got into this because they liked making comics. I'm going to go out on a limb and declare that.
Right. I sure hope so. And they still do make comics, and they're still, I mean, okay, they've done something that I struggle with on my own. Is they're very niche. They're for video games. And, you know, there's not very many video game podcasts out there. So maybe that could be an avenue.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not in the description of every podcast ever.
Or either that or about beer.
We get drunk and talk about movies. Oh, that's nice.
Boy, sign me up.
Where am I going to find that online?
So, but at least they have a niche. And I think they've really carved themselves out as like, the voice of gaming and gamers and all that. So good for them for doing that, at least.
Yeah, they got to design a Magic card. I'm slightly jealous of that. That was their latest thing they did.
That's fun. Do you still play Magic?
I play it completely online. Like, anytime when I was a kid, I used to go to the game shop because obviously the online client didn't exist. And I'd look around and I'd just be like, holy shit, no wonder I'm not getting fucked. This is like what I look like.
I know, right?
I had no sense. I would just look at every 400-pound, unbathed, horrible social skills. Like, you can be a decent person even if you're a fat pig slob. What do I care? Like, just be nice and try to clean yourself. But these guys were assholes on top of everything.
Right. It's like the comic book store guy from the Simpsons.
Exactly. A fat pile of shit who's a jerk, to top it all off. That's the cherry on top of the dog shit sundae.
Just berating and bullying 12, 11, 10-year-olds boys about games and cards.
Acting in like off-putting geeky manners and quoting shit even I spit upon. You know, like, Jesus Christ, bust out a goddamn Goodfellas quote. Be a man, for fuck's sake.
Well, and then these guys, these are typically the guys that work at video game stores, too. And it's all just, it's a sad thing. I played a ton of Magic as a kid, too. And I don't play it online now, but what I am super obsessed with is Hearthstone. Have you tried that one yet?
Is that the iPad game that was done by some of the Magic guys?
It's by Blizzard, you know, like Blizzard. World of Warcraft.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, give that one a spin. It's fun because you can play it on your computer and your iPad, and it syncs up, and it's great. I mean, for me, not playing Magic in 10 years, it's like reawakened all those prepubescent, you know, hanging out at the card shop feelings. It's a great one. So yeah, check out Hearthstone.
Yeah, again, these are all great games. Just never play them in person.
No, or never go to like a meetup. If you go to a Magic meetup, I mean, it's going to be all supermodels who just want to fuck hard. And you pull out your deck and you're like, look, I got a swamp deck. It's like a, you know what? I had a plane.
You don't even get to finish your sentence before you're down their throat, really.
They're just opening up my loose dick hole all over the place. They're good.
Before the end of the episode, I'll have to relay the story of the loose dick hole.
Yeah, I've got a dick hole story too. Maybe every guy's got one, but.
We can make that the finale.
Okay, put a pin in that one.
That's what we're building toward. But yeah, Magic is just the goddamn pits. And I played the instant you could play it online. I sold off my entire collection and bought a bunch. And the beauty of it online is you never lose it. So I haven't purchased a Magic card in, I want to say, 10 years. But I just log on and dick around with what I got. I haven't much lately. In all honesty, but it's nice to know it's there.
Yeah, it's fun. I still have all my cards. I should take them down to a store and see if I can get a couple bucks for them, because I had a bunch. This is actually pretty shady. I hate to even admit this, But I remember playing younger kids and not, I don't want to say tricking them, but you would sort of gamble. You would say, if I beat you,
I'm playing for ante.
Right. I'm taking one of your cards. And I got quite a few cards that way. And those card shops back in the day were essentially like a room with a glass case. There wasn't security cameras and there wasn't much to do. So my friends and I had a whole scheme where we'd create a big diversion.
Oh, you just steal from the binders and shit.
Right. Somebody would walk away with like a, you know, a 50-cent card that we thought was, you know, and then we'd have to run outside and wait for my mom to pick us up. Cause of course we, you know, we couldn't drive. But yeah.
I dabbled in that more than once. The trick was long sleeved shirts and spending a lot of time at the trade binder. It was just a game of attrition. Eventually, they would turn their backs, and then you would just pull out a bunch of singles and be like, "I'm looking at this one. I'm looking at that one." And lo and behold, a bunch of them, you know, disappeared up my Cannibal Corpse T-shirt sleeve.
Cannibal Corpse. I used to do it with Pogs too. I would snatch a pog here or there, and it felt really. Yeah, it's more about the rush. I think at that age, it's fun to steal. You feel good and dirty.
Really, steal. It was great until you got caught. I got busted all of once, and I still blame it on a friend of mine who just sat around like a goon inside the store when I was like, "Time to make a run for it."
God damn it!
But it was winter time, right around Christmas. It echoed really that Simpsons Christmas episode where Bart ruins Christmas. By stealing the Mortal Kombat knockoff game.
Totally, yes.
Was it Bone Classic. Smasher or something like that?
Yes.
And I was just stealing wads upon wads of Magic card packs. And I tried to run out, and I was there with my friend, and his mom had dropped us off. So I was like, what the fuck? I can't even like escape and get home. And the clerk just slowly comes out and is like, you mind coming back in? And I was like staring at him. I was like, we need to make a break for it. And instead I just got marched to the back room, and suddenly I was the bad influence in the group because I stole $10 worth of Magic cards.
Oh man, it's all been downhill from there.
It kind of ruined the relationship between me and my dad until he croaked.
Shit got heavy right there.
I don't want to say ruined, but definitely queered every Christmas from that point forward.
Yeah. I mean, he thought you were a thief.
Yeah. Oh, it led to, there was a bit of a leash for me where I could wear like Metallica shirts and I had the long hair and that shit. I had the buzz like about 48 hours later. That hair was gone.
Damn.
And if they could have afforded a new wardrobe, that would have been done too.
They put duct tape over all your Cannibal Corpse shirts.
Yes, to cover, what was it, Eaten Back to Life, which shows the one zombie eating out the other zombie.
You know, I had a kid in my high school who always wore those, or Deceed. Is that how you pronounce that band?
Oh, Deicide.
Deicide. Deceed. Oh, look at me, Mr.
When I first saw it, yeah, I was like, it's Deicide, what?
Deicide. That makes so much more sense. Killing God.
Killing God.
Hello. Well, anyways, yeah, I remember those kids at school, and I used to think, like, that kid is so fucking badass. He'd probably be in the parking lot smoking a cigarette.
That was me.
You know, talking about finger banging some cheerleader.
Part wasn't me.
Well, you know, I made that up. But yeah, that's good for you. And now look at you. Are you still kind of a grimy guy, or are you a clean cut, you know, sort of normal guy in society?
And now I'm just poorly dressed, but normal.
There you go.
Like now I put very little effort into my clothing, but I shower daily and deodorant is used. Not that they weren't back then, but, you know, I'm clean. I look like the disgusting laborer that I am. Shorts and a T-shirt, and that's about it.
That's okay. I never listened to metal in high school. It wasn't until I got to college. And now I listen to more death metal and heavy metal than I ever did as a grown up. And maybe it's because I have kids and I'm rebelling against my kids. They're like, you know what? Fuck you, kids. I'm still cool. I'm still metal. I'm going to listen to metal and I don't give a shit. And then in the car, when I drive around with them, I don't know if you have XM or Sirius.
Oh, that's all I have. Yeah.
So liquid metal is all I listen to with my kids in the car, and they love it.
That is my exposure to all music. I don't really download dog shit, but I'll play the hell out of some liquid metal and Ozzy's Boneyard.
Yeah. So they're like, put on liquid metal, Dad. Put on liquid metal. Yeah, it's fun.
You are raising them right, my friend.
I know. I guess so. And then, of course, every once in a while when it's like, fuck it. All right, next. Like,
yeah. I thought you were going to say they were like crying in the back for the Frozen soundtrack.
Well,
you're like, no, fuck you, you little shits.
Best of both worlds. We do listen to Frozen quite a bit as well. So, hey, you know, I'm not going to rob them of anything, but I definitely want to make sure they hear it all.
That was brought up, I want to say, their last episode or two episodes ago. And I was mentioning I had never seen it and that I'm slightly looking forward to it coming out on HBO just because it has such fuss behind it.
Yeah, no, it's a good, it's, listen, it's a classic good Disney movie story thing. And, you know, like most animated movies.
Damn
these
it,
days,
you sound like a calculator all of a sudden. What happened?
Oh, am I choppy?
Yeah, you're a little choppy.
Well, when I send it to you, I should sound okay, as long as you can kind of understand me.
You're understandable. And you know what? Fuck the audience. Fuck my audience of five. This is your 400th episode. This is your big payoff, assholes.
There you go. Well, hopefully we're not ruining it, but it's still good. I mean, like any animated movie these days, it's so well done that as a person who you and I seem to have some similar interests, like it just looks cool. Like you just can't deny the fact that it's an achievement of CGI and animation. So you'll get a kick out of it.
I don't know what goes into that anymore. I almost get the feeling like they can just draw a stick figure and it immediately puts all the textures and everything you want on it. I guess I'm being an utter shithead about that.
It's probably somewhere in the middle. I think it's like what the original Toy Story took 400 years to make.
Yes.
Again, but I think you're probably right.
Christopher Columbus came over and began immediately.
started shading cells in a California basement. I think it's, I think it takes still a while. Like I still think most of these movies probably take at least a year or two, but I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you just,
but wasn't the whole thing that like Cinderella and the original hand-drawn Disney's were like 30 frames of animation per second and like not Korean kid frames, but actual, you know, white Anglo-Saxon males doing the
right.
work. I mean, a lot went into that shit.
Oh yeah, with like a pipe and a cigarette hanging out of their mouth, like sitting at an easel, just, you know, beautifully sculpting these things. I mean, that's definitely a lost art.
As Walt's behind them bitching about the Jews ruining the country.
These goddamn Jews that are running everything. I know. For a long time, I thought Disney, you know how his he's wrote his name like his signature.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a G, like a backwards G.
Okay.
And I thought that's what it was. I thought it was like Disney, but with a G.
Like Walt Disney?
Sort of, yeah.
That sounds like a horrible knockoff product you would find on the secondary market.
I know, right? Great story. Hey, great story for your 400th episode right there. Real content.
Copy of Disney's Hercules. Enjoy.
Real gem for you.
Don't worry. Again, this is all just us goofing off, being friends, enjoying each other, really, Dan. It's we haven't talked since the last time we recorded, and it's just been a couple of emails where we've tried to set something up, and I've rightly, I might add, anticipated some sort of mechanical problem with it and it being a pain in the ass. So yes, the amount of effort to perform this is slightly bigger than me just sitting on my bed staring at the wall like goddamn the dude from the Institutionalized video.
Well,
so
do you normally have a co-host or something, right? Do you do that in studio together?
Almost always, yeah. It's just she's either, because it's almost always a chick, it's either we go into the local public access studio or we go to my place and I just set up the mics. It's very rare I do the Skype stuff. It's, I think you're the only person I've done it with twice. Or,
oh, wow.
Oh, no, a friend of mine, Sean F., a guy who does a lot with the Opie and Anthony parody songs. I think he might be, anytime I get a guest, the rare effort I put forth and make it happen, I'm just like, you know what? Let's do it twice.
Nice. Well, why not if it works? I've lately been thinking about nixing guests on my show, and I'm not sure why, only because I think I like my show better, and I think it's funnier maybe when it's just me having to write jokes. But as a person, like we talked about trying to get new listeners and branch out more, I think the guests are definitely a good way to do that.
I'm torn on that. I figure it has to be, because otherwise throughout all of history, why would people strive to get guests on? But maybe like in the Tonight Show days, they already had their built-in viewership. They're one of three channels, you know,
right.
Johnny's against like a goddamn test pattern of an Indian head.
Right.
So I think he's safe, and maybe you just get the guests to buy you a lot of content. But these days, I don't think any guest is just on. They're not plugging anything interesting. It's all been done to death. Anyone who's going to do a show of our level is just plugging their own shitty podcast. So
right.
Especially if you don't have like a set co-host and you're going through rotating guests, then yeah, who the fuck cares?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying it on for size to see what works. And the other thing too, speaking of trying to niche things down, is a lot of what I talk about is my family and my kids and stuff like that. And somebody told me that they think I should just do that and just make it like a goddamn dad podcast.
I was just going to say that actually sounds like it has some good focus to it.
That's the thing. I thought to myself, all right, maybe if I focus it a bit, then I could get on some dad networks and do things like that. But then I thought to myself, fuck me. I don't want to be this dad humorist. I just want to be a funny guy who just happens to maybe talk about his family and kids more often than not. So I think I'm just going to just let it roll and just stay in this malaise of general comedy that you, me, and a million other dorky white guys are stuck in.
It worked. I think that's what really pisses us off, though. There was a time where Howard Stern got $20 million a year for this general white guy comedy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it just seems, I don't want to say dead, but it's weird that it hasn't been, I don't know, nothing ever came back on the radio. And again, maybe because radio is not doing much, but nothing came back to claim that. I guess what, Carolla and Rogan are like the heirs to that throne in some sense.
But you know what? You and I talked about this, and I think those are two perfect examples of guys that are so busy. You know, Carolla with his wine and 100 other shows. Rogan is doing UFC. He's still doing stand-up. I would like to think, and these guys are obviously clearly workaholics too, so maybe that's what, you know, puts into it. But I want to work just enough to have a good life and not work my ass off constantly all day long, diversifying my shit.
Yeah.
So they must either not make a ton of money doing their shows, which I don't think they probably do, but they probably do okay. And okay for them, I'm sure, is still a few hundred grand.
That would be my guess. If I, like, the absolute top tier of podcasters are making, a $250,000 tops. That would be my guess again.
You know what we need to do? We need to get out of podcasting. And I was reading this article about these YouTubers who do these Let's Play. Have you heard about these things? Let's Play?
Do they play like a game? Do they masturbate on video? What? Isn't it like a video game thing?
They make more than people who masturbate. Yeah, so they just play video games.
But do they have the fun? That's the real question.
They have a lot of fun. And they're well-spoken and they narrate it well. And they have this one guy, his name's like Pew Pew Die or something. He's got 27 million subscribers and he makes $4 million a year on advertising from YouTube.
What the fuck are we doing?
That's the difference. The difference is YouTube. So podcasting is so fragmented and doesn't make any money anyways. But if there was a YouTube for podcasts, which I guess iTunes is supposed to be, but it's,
yeah, but it's
not.
Just got a horrible interface that you can't flip around. You can't really search well. For Christ's sakes, my show's URL is in Papa's Basement, but the show's called Papa's Basement. Just I had to take in because the regular Papa's Basement was taken. You shove in Papa's Basement into iTunes right now, you will come back with a blank.
Yeah, exactly. It's a broken, jacked up system, but it's because Apple doesn't make any money on it. I mean, YouTube is owned by Google and makes millions and millions of dollars in ad revenue. If podcasting could somehow get a system like that where there was ads before your show that had nothing to do with you, it was just an ad. Just like somebody on YouTube doesn't choose to have a Chevy ad run before their video, YouTube does that. It's not them brokering a deal with Chevy. It's just YouTube. So if podcasts could do that and there was real money behind it, real advertising, then I think people can start to make some money again. But until then, it's the Wild West. And it's like right now, all of a sudden saying, all right, use offer code PAPA and you'll get 10% off your Bark Box or Nature Box or whatever that horse shit happens to be. So it's until there's money in podcasting. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Oh, God, funny. I tugged on the side of my headphone and I had a thought in my head and it just went spiral. Oh, there it is again. Yeah, it touches on what we were saying about Penny Arcade earlier, though. Like, mm-hmm. The whole, those guys got into it because they wanted to make a fucking comic. You and I want to make a radio show. We grew up, like we said, listening to Stern and Don and Mike. I take it, do you log any time with Opie and Anthony now on Sirius XM or Stern or any of that, or just Liquid Metal?
You know, not so much. And I never really got into Opie and Anthony. I think it's because when I did listen to it, I caught them in a bit of a down period. And
was it recent or 10 years ago?
It was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. It was when Ron and Fez were on Sirius 2. Maybe okay. Ron and Fez.
Well, they are. They're on. They just got moved to. What is it? Raw Dog, the comedy channel.
Okay, and I don't mind Ron and Fez, and I remember listening to Ron and Fez when they were on with Don and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something about ONA, which I don't not like it, but I just feel like it just doesn't hit me the way it hits other people. But I get it. I understand why people like it.
I only got into it recently, in all honesty, and I feel like a bit of a fraud because a couple of the guys that I talked to who are way into it have loved it for a long time. But back, if you remember in 01 when they were quote-unquote beefing, as the kids now say, with Don and Mike.
Right.
I couldn't stand them. Like, I thought it was just so many people criticized that genre back then as being just for shock value. And I was like, no, you know, they're talking like real men do. We say fuck and shit and that sort of stuff, but we have real content. Opie and Anthony were the only guys I felt that fit that accusation, as it were. I was like, okay, a lot of their content and their talk really is disingenuous and it is done for shock.
Yes.
And 10 years or so later, my bro was listening to them. I got a Sirius unit so I could listen to Stern. And I was like, eh, he's all right. I don't know if I really think this is worth it. And he got the XM unit and started listening to Opie and Anthony. And he was saying how much he loved them. And I don't know what it is about the 10 years and the bitterness and all that shit, but the last 4 years have been very sound. And I'm not saying it's like doesn't have its ups and downs. But
right.
if you go to it lately, I think you'll enjoy it again. And if not, so be it. But the past 4 years have been something very different out of them.
I'll give it a shot. I like Jim Norton a lot, so I know he's on all the time.
Yeah, he's like their resident, like an Artie Lang type guy, just their right. comedian that they keep around. I'm not the biggest on his stand-up, but he kills on the show for me.
Exactly. I don't love his stand-up, but on the show. The one thing that I don't like, which is going to be hard to get over, and I'm not sure if it's Opie or Anthony, but there's one guy, the cadence of his voice, where he's always like, I don't have an impersonation of him, but the way he just spits out his words.
Mm-hmm. It's Anthony.
Is it Anthony? Yeah,
it's got to be Anthony. There's a weird way he enunciates certain things. Like he's almost in love with just making sounds.
Yeah, and I think that's what rubbed me wrong a bit.
It takes a little getting used to.
Either way, I'll give it another spin because if it's changed a bit, I'm sure. And listen, it's one of those things. It's like anything. If millions and millions of people like something and you don't, then it's your problem.
It's on you. Yeah.
You're the asshole. Right. So I'm not that much of a egomaniac to just be like, oh, it fucking sucks, period. Like, I know there's some value to it.
No, I definitely enjoy it. That is the one piece of pride I have in all of my social media stuff. Somehow Opie follows me on Twitter.
Nice.
Yes.
That is cool.
Never interacted with me, never acknowledged anything I've said, and I refuse to direct message the guy because that's crossing a line as far as I'm concerned.
I wouldn't say it is. I would say when you're ready, if you want to say like, hey, Opie, I do a show, would love for you to check it out. What's the worst that can happen? He unfollows you, but maybe he'll listen. Maybe he'll love it. Maybe you'll become on a show as like a writer or something.
I don't know if they have writers. If they do, that would, well, I'd say it'd be a choice gig, but I'm sure it pays like $40,000 and you have to live in goddamn downtown New York.
Right. Yeah. On a $40,000 salary, you'd live in a shoebox.
Oh, that's slavery.
Yeah. All right, well, then don't. You know what? Listen, you have to just tell yourself.
Exactly. Let that dream die.
Is it worth having him as a follower not reading your shit? Or do you just DM him and see what happens?
You know what? You've inspired me one of these days. One of these days, the DM is coming.
You know, I haven't had any, like, huge guests on my show. I had my namesake, Dan the Beast, like this old UFC fighter. And as a joke, I used I'll Be Sure, like an old R&B guy.
Oh, I know the name.
And I just reached out to these people, and they've come on my show. So I think you'd be surprised. These people are just normal people. And every once in a while, if you just catch them on the right moment, who knows? So, yeah, may strike up a friendship. Maybe you and him become best friends.
I would like that very much, Dan.
Do it.
I wanted to just going back, though, we had mentioned Penny Arcade like 15 different times.
Mm-hmm.
And the YouTube thing touches on the fact we want to do the radio show and there's no money in that. And then how far do you want to get away from what you love to do things you kind of don't hate, but then start to become work, even if they're like artistic passions to someone else? Like you and me doing a YouTube channel, for example, It could be fun. Maybe we'd learn to love it, but is it something you'd really, really want to do and have an interest in?
Oh boy, you mean like a video of the podcast? Or
Yeah,
just enjoy? Oh,
possibly.
you mean doing
Is
like a
that
let's
something
play?
you think could,
Oh.
well, yeah, let's play, first of all, because that's very far from what we do.
I love video games. I mean, if I could make $4 million to play video games and talk about them,
Well, 4 million,
brother.
yes. I mean, I would lick my cat's asshole for 8 hours a day for 4 million.
So would I. I would lick it real hard right now. Well, okay. I mean, if I could make a good living doing it, but you're right. It's everything that's like art these days is now so what will it make money filled that maybe our shows would suffer. I mean, I don't know, maybe it would take some of the fun out of it.
I just, again, the Penny Arcade guys obviously got into making a webcomic because they wanted to make a fucking webcomic. At some point, they're now running a video game forum. They sell t-shirts completely unrelated to Penny Arcade. All kinds of t-shirts and shit.
Right.
All sorts of geeky subjects. They're making videos. They're doing this. They're doing that. And I'm like, I have to look at it and be like, wouldn't they just be happier making 40, 50K for the goddamn comic alone?
Right. I don't know. Maybe that's not enough. I mean, maybe now they have a whole team and employees and there's this beast. I mean, like I said, they do a huge expo, like a convention, like now
PAX or whatever, PAX,
PAX.
right? Yeah.
And it's in like Australia now. It's on the East Coast, West Coast. I mean, they certainly got themselves in. And you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe they've always been artists and writers, but there's probably a business guy. Maybe there's a guy behind the scenes who's like, all right, this is all cool. Like we have our shirts and our comic, but what about this? And I don't know. That's what most artists need. Maybe they have like a manager or somebody who's pushing them to do all this diversification.
I would. How much would you pay to have someone who could actually get you some traction?
Oh, it's a good question. It's attraction in terms of, let's say, like what, 500,000 like recurring listeners? What's or like a million listeners? Like what's
No, I
traction?
mean, Jesus Christ, those are like magic unicorn numbers. I would say like 10,000 listeners, even 10,000 recurring listeners. Like you put out a podcast and it's good for between 9 and 11,000 downloads.
Oh boy. I'd pay $500 for that.
I would pay,
Maybe 1,000 if I had to.
I'd
That's a lot.
probably chip a couple K in all honesty, just to actually get an audience. Cause there's a, I think there is a magic number where you do start to grow.
Yeah.
It's almost like a kindling thing in the fire. You know what I mean? Like if you're in the middle of a forest and you just have a spark, nothing happens, and you do a little kindling and nothing happens. But you get a fire big enough and suddenly you can burn the whole motherfucker down. Suddenly it can take.
John?
Yo.
Hey.
What's up, man?
It dropped.
Oh, no worries.
You were saying like it like once you get enough too, there's like people see it and they know
I
it's
think
good.
there is momentum, yeah, after a certain point. I don't know if my very, very bad roundabout analogy recorded, but I was simply stating that it's like kindling in the middle of a forest. Like you have sparks, they do nothing on the forest floor. You have a little kindling, maybe you can make a campfire, but you get a big enough campfire, suddenly you can burn the entire forest to the ground. Like once you hit a certain volume, it builds upon itself.
Agreed. Agreed. Just I keep saying in my head I just need a break. I had a friend on the show once who had a blog and was like a comedian, and then one day Jamie Foxx tweeted about him. And that was enough. Like Jamie Foxx found his blog and said, "Yo, man, this is great. Check out this guy's blog." And overnight he had like 250 likes on Facebook. Now he's written a book and he's writing a TV show, and it's
I want to kill
literally
you
only
just for letting
because,
me know that ever happened to anyone.
well, it's given me like false hopes that Adam Carolla or Rob Delaney or some like really funny popular comedian's gonna see my shit and say, "Hey, check this guy out," and that's all I'll need, just like that nice little bump.
Did your friend interact heavily with Jamie Foxx before that? Was he like tweeting in reply to Jamie Foxx's every word or what?
No, zero. It was just
Just.
he like
You
came up
and
with
your
the name.
friend fucking just go
I
to
know.
Mars. I hate you both.
Believe me, if he wasn't such a good guy, I'd hate him too. He deserves it. But he made like a meme or he made something funny. And it was just enough to where it just blew up and It worked. I mean, he literally went viral, like that elusive viral thing. I know.
Oh, God. It's like you kicked my stomach in the balls.
I'm sorry. I'm
nah,
so sorry.
It's all right, man. It's all
but
right.
But hey, listen, let that be an example that it can happen. I mean, it probably doesn't happen often, but it can happen.
I guess. That's the difference between me and a winner. You heard it right there. I hear someone doing what I do and succeeding, and I just feel rage directed at them. Not any sort of inspiration or a glimmer of hope. Just me going, oh, that piece of shit.
I have rage, and there's jealousy. I mean, I think any entertainer, when they see other ones being successful, whether it's fucking Nerdist and those guys, or Jake Fogelnest, or any sort of like podcaster who's doing something, and you say to yourself, man, I could do that. I want to be that guy. Fuck that guy. And you just don't let it consume you with all absorbing rage.
I'm trying, dude. I'm trying. I guess, all right, how many more minutes you got? I think we're at 2 p.m. right now. I don't want to keep you from your meeting.
I pushed it. So, yeah, we could jam for like 15 or 20 more minutes if you want.
Oh, okay. That was going to be my out because I have no ideas. But we can do a couple of minutes. No. Actually, don't worry about it. I have an irate customer who's been leaving voice messages. I put locks on her door 9 months ago. And she's like, now the lock is loose. I'm like, what the fuck do you want? If you think I'm coming out there for free because your goddamn lock is loose 9 months later, like I have some sort of control over the manufacturing process of these things.
Yeah, 9 months. I mean, that's kind of out of the statute of limitations. Well,
take a goddamn screwdriver to it, you unhandy schlub.
What does it mean the lock is loose? Like in the door? Yeah, just tighten that shit down.
I don't know if she means the actual fixture in the door. She's like, where you put the key to turn it? And I'm like, well, that sounds very much like you should be calling the manufacturer here.
Yeah.
Geez. So now she called and left a voicemail. I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of angry accusations that I'm ducking her, but fuck her.
Oh, fun. Well, that's good luck with that.
Yeah, it's like a flaming bag waiting on my doorstep. I'll let it burn down a bit, and then I'll get off my ass and get the pot of water to dump on it.
There you go. Just don't stamp on it with your foot.
I saw on Billy Madison how that turns out. Not a good thing.
I think Billy Madison ruined guys like you and me because I've always wanted to do that trick, but it just seems so... You're putting something on fire, really. It's not the fire. You have to stamp it out. I mean, that's the part of the joke that makes it good. But I don't think anyone in real life has really done that joke and probably gotten away with it without...
Well, they did it in Orange is the New Black this latest season.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Don't spoil it for
me. Yeah, there's your huge spoiler. That is season two's reveal.
Oh, great.
That there is a flaming bag prank pulled. I never really got how that was that big of a prank. Maybe I'm more destructive. Like, I get egging because that's hours and hours to clean up, and same with toilet paper. Mm-hmm. But the flaming poo bag, I feel maybe if you loaded it, and I mean it looked like you had put a sixer of dog shit in this thing.
You know what, though? But here's the thing. You have to touch shit.
That, you know? I was just going to say that.
Yeah, like, it's a prank that involves you either looking for human shit or shitting in a cup. I mean, there's a lot of effort into this and, frankly, a lot of gross effort. So just throw an egg. Or if you're going to use shit, I'd say dial it up a notch. Just take a shit on their doorstep.
That happened to me once. I had a human dump on the doorstep. Now, that's a prank because you're like, we don't have bears in this area. I know what generated this.
Right. A boy's... tight anus. Certainly not a girl. A girl would never shit like that. But
no, at age 30-ought-3, I've accepted that girls do shit, but they don't really seem to take just the gross, I ate 4 pounds of peanut dumps.
No way.
That we're capable of.
Plus, I think a guy can really shit on command. Like, they can muster up a shit.
Like, it's like getting an erection in the presence of a beautiful woman.
Seriously, most women, to me, just don't be able to muster up a shit. Like, they're happy if they shit once a day.
Well, they're very on schedule with it. It's not celebrated. It's usually like with my girlfriend, it's like a ninja'd out thing. First thing in the morning, like we're both waking up. It's like, oh, hey, what's up? Trots off to the bathroom. She's back 3 minutes later. That's it. That's the production.
Right. Never a messy wipe. It's always a clean break.
Oh yeah, I thank Christ, because I this could have led to a breakup. I've never noticed any business down there after the fact, whereas me, I'm cleaning up 6 hours later, like, god damn, there was more. What happened?
It's maybe the hair.
Maybe it's the ape hair. I have a tight anus, you know, it doesn't get worked out by other gentlemen or anything like that. No ass play.
It's all the hemorrhoids. It makes everything, it's like a rocky road down there.
Yeah, I guess I have those and I just don't know it. They're all internal. I'm not sure.
I think everybody has hemorrhoids. I've never had like a bad one. One time when I was in college and I think I was like studying for midterms, I was really nervous and I was like shitting a lot. Mm-hmm. I never had a hemorrhoid and I finally got one and it's not fun. It's like a little pink bubble like pops out of your butthole. And I remember like this is probably before WebMD and really even Google. I remember calling my dad and I was like, Dad,
just
I have a
crying
hemorrhoid.
Hysterically.
And he's all, just push it back in. Oh, like, I get hemorrhoids all the time. Just take your finger and push that shit back in. And I did, and it went away. And I've never had them since. But it can be really bad. Like, if you have to get them removed or things like that, I mean, it's no fun.
Well, there are people that have, like, crippling hemorrhoids, like, to the point they need surgery. And then others where it hangs out and looks like a baboon's pussy.
Right, right, exactly.
Like, it can get graphic, man. I'm lucky. I've just had what I guessed were internal ones at some points. Like, I'm just like, man, I really itch and I think something's doing there. Oh no, I remember what it was. It looked like I had slit my wrist and held it over the toilet and then taken a shit.
Oh.
And that was going on for 3 days. And I'm like, okay, something up there needs some shrinking, I guess.
Oh, I've been there, man. When you take a shit and there's like a hint of blood, it's always nerve-wracking. But yeah, if you have like a real bad fissure or something and you look down there and it's like a period blood down there or something.
Well, what's great is your asshole's trying to heal and then it's just getting this massive hammer shoved through it every 24 hours.
No, it's awful. It's awful. This is great. I'm glad we're talking about this now.
Yeah, I remember using my first Prep H. And I felt so unclean afterward. It was as bad as that first time you masturbate and you're like, oh my God, Jesus and my grandpa and everyone else saw me from heaven do that. The first time I shoved a Prep H in my ass, I was like, wait, medicine really goes in my asshole? Is this not a joke? I wanted to like rock myself in a shower afterward for a half hour.
I can beat that, man. This super bad hemorrhoid that I had when I was in school, like I said, was so bad that it was hard for me to sit down. So imagine me going from class to class, sitting in these, you know, rock hard plastic chairs.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have to lower myself down. And the only thing that made it feel better was I didn't even have preparation H. I had this medicine called Anisol. That's what it was called. It had the word anus in the name of the medicine.
Beat around the bush.
Anisol. And so imagine me. Here I am. I'm 20 or whatever. I'm in school trying to get laid, trying to learn.
Yeah.
And between class, I had to go to the bathroom and put Anisol on my anus. So it's like, little did these people know, between each class, I'm just rubbing medicine on my asshole and like lowering myself so gingerly down into each seat. And it's in my backpack, right? I have this tube of Anisol, and it says
just the hip kid on campus, like some chick's blowing you. You're just like, well, work around it, honey.
It's like, what's that weird smell? Or some, you know, let's say the captain of the cheerleading squad turns around and says, hey, can I borrow a pencil? Reaches in my bag and pulls out the Anisol. That would just
and the pencil's greasy to the touch.
Oh God. Yeah. So listen, it's thank God I've never had any more issues that bad. But that was a fun time for Dan in college, no doubt.
Oh my Lord, man. Let's do the callback to the dickhole stories. We could do World Cup, we could do the Redskins losing the trademark to their name, but let's do the dickhole stories.
No, I want to say one thing about the Redskins thing, which drives me crazy, is I get it. We all get it. It's a terrible offensive name, but it's one of these things that I really wonder. And, you know, far be it for me, like a white dorky guy, to say anything about racism. But are people really that upset? Like, really, are Native Americans that upset about it?
Yeah, that's, dude, entirely how I feel. And it has nothing to do with me living in DC and that's my favorite football team and all that. I could give a fuck what they're called, in all honesty. Start right. winning. You can call yourselves the prolapsed rectums. I don't care.
But, good point.
That is, it's weird because a lot of really, really conservative guys on the far right are like, oh, it's the special interest agenda and all that shit. They're pushing this forward. And on one hand, I'm like, I don't get what the agenda is. We get the name changed and we showed people we could do that. And then we go back to doing fuck all. Like, it doesn't right. sound like the most thought out agenda I've ever heard.
It's just, it's a chilling effect too, as they say, because there's so many Native American names. This weekend I was camping chewing Red Man tobacco. Yeah. So it's like, if Redskins lose their name, it's got to be everything. We can't just single them out. And the patent office, like, relinquishing the patent on their name, I just don't like that kind of stuff, because I'm not like some right wing guy, but I feel like it's not their place to sort of
dictate. It sounds like I'm in the same ballpark. And again, for those that don't really know, earlier today, we're recording this Wednesday on, what is today, 18th or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Look real 18th. Fast.
Yep, the 18th.
Nothing like making an episode evergreen that way. June the 18th, 2014. And the U.S. Patent Office earlier today said the Redskins no longer have a copyright on the name the Redskins. And so anyone can crank out as much shitty Redskins merch as they want.
Yeah.
And because they're like, well, the name Redskins is offensive. And I think what gets me is, you hear it at first, and then some people say it's offensive, and you're like, all right, I guess I could see how that's offensive if it really does piss off the Native American community. They've insisted on being called that instead of Indians for some time now. Right. But then you actually talk or hear from a lot of Native Americans, and it just seems like the vast majority of their community does not give a fuck.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. And that's what really gets to me. It's like, in the black community now, it's almost offensive to say black. I feel, in some ways, you kind of have to go African-American. But really, how much of the black / African-American community gives a fuck about being called black? I don't think they really give a shit. They're just a-okay with black, African-American, if you want to get fancy with it.
It's white people feeling guilty for Native Americans that they are championing this cause,
because
if I was a Native American, I would be like, you know what? Let's not worry about the Redskins, some dumbass football team. Let's talk about how alcoholism is rampant and all these other
destroyed our entire world.
But yeah, let's talk about that and like real issues instead of this sort of like pet issue that white people can rally behind and make themselves feel better. Because that's really all it is. It's trying to make guilty white people feel better, because that's the other thing too. Like I said, if we're going to do this with the Redskins, it's got to be across the board. Like, the Cleveland Indians, Red Man Chewing Tobacco, Blackhawks, like everything, which
the Chiefs, the Braves,
all of them. And you know what, though? The thing is with sports, I feel like all these names had good intentions. They all are meant to be proud, strong.
Yeah, it's fierce. Not like, exactly. That's it. It's a power thing.
People like to say, all right, well, what if there was a football team called the New York Jews?
Yeah, the Shyster Kikes. No, right. That's not it.
It's not it, because then why? Because it's a scrupulous football team that's greedy.
They're very well managed. They're stingy with the points on defense.
Stingy, yes, exactly. I mean, you're not giving it a name as a pro. It would be a con, and that's a bad argument. So it's just one of these things that I hate when it comes around and makes headlines. That's what it's for. It's to make headlines. It's to make, somebody's going to make money off this, and it's super silly.
I have no visceral reaction to it, and like that word, the Redskins, like, it's not like when I hear, you know, someone says nigger, I'm like, okay, that's bad, we've probably right. crossed the line here. I hear Redskins, I'm like, okay, that's just the team. If I'm not saying this in a challenging show me the proof, man, kind of way, but like, really, I do want to know before this comes down that a lot of people really are in that community offended. If they really are, if Redskins is their version of nigger, so right. be it. Then change it immediately. That is horrific. God exactly. damn it.
But I don't think it is.
Yeah, like if they said. Really don't give a fuck, and it's like 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000 of them who really gets into it is like, I don't like that word. Well, fuck you. I don't know what to say, man.
Right. It's not, you hit it on the head. It's not a word that people, a racial slur that people use against Indians. Indians is the slur, not native, not Redskins. Nobody's ever said, like, get out of here, you lazy Redskin.
Yeah.
You know, it's, they would say an
maybe
Indian.
In like 1874 or some shit. I don't know.
Exactly. It's weird. Weird to say the least.
All right. Do we wrap up with dickhole stories?
Let's do it.
All right, I got two good ones. Actually, you go first. I just have a when my friend Jimmy brought in the first penthouse I had ever seen. No, it was a Hustler to the lunchroom in sixth Ooh. Grade. And one of the letters to Hustler, not nearly as classy as a letter to Penthouse.
Right.
Involved a S&M thing where a guy in his college library was restrained via duct tape in a spread eagle position by... Wow. You know, a girl that seemed nerdy in class, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, outside of class, she proved to be quite the tigress.
Ooh.
And she got off on straightening a paperclip, much like one would fashion a lockpick
in
a movie, and just fishing it up his urethra.
Oh, God, no.
And the guy was so captivated by how dirty it was, they were later wed, but the closing anecdote was... He always felt weird peeing that, like, felt a weird sensation from that day forward. I would murder a woman that did that to me, but he married her, so it worked out for him.
That's insane. I'm hurting just thinking about a metal object fishing around my...
I've had objects, scopes shoved up there designed for it, and I felt probably as bad as I did on the Preparation H day.
Oh, my God. That's... I'm sick. Let's end the show right now. I got to throw up. I have a really sensitive one. I was kidding about it being loose, but it's really sensitive. And
no,
because,
you talk about urethra shit, it freaks guys out more than stuff in the ass.
Yeah, I would definitely take something up my ass in a heartbeat before my dick hole. When I was a little kid, my story is stupid, but when I was a little kid, I had to get an operation because my pee-pee hole was small and I could barely like get pee out of it. It's true. And that part of your dick is called the, it looks like it's spelled meatus. It's called like the meatus
or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to get this awful surgery. I was like, I'm still traumatized by like, you know, some 800-year-old doctor holding my little kid dick in his hand and like, you know, inspecting my hole and shoving like a needle in it to open it up. But yeah, it was awful. And so I'm especially sensitive to it. And it's bad. But listen, now I have a healthy, a normal-sized dick hole that can piss and jizz just like with the best of them.
Oh, at least it had a happy ending. Good God.
No pun intended. Yes, it did.
Oh, man. All right. I guess now that we've done that.
Yeah, we covered a lot.
Yeah. Well, again, once the show gets rolling, Lord knows where it's going to go.
Yeah. And for reading the day, too, I mean, it's 11 a.m. for me, and we hit right on all the nasty after dark stuff usually you talk about after you have a couple pops in you.
Professionals. I like that, man. Yeah.
Pros, John.
We cut to the shit.
Yeah, we sure do.
All right, Dan, we have to do this again more often, and now we actually can because I've set up Skype where we can do this semi-effectively.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, and I appreciate you having me on, and anytime you want me to come on and tell stories about putting lubes and lotions on my orifices, you just let me know.
We should probably do a spin-off podcast together, and it will gain the audience that we both have, except that will never work in a million years.
And we need a niche, so maybe it can be about hemorrhoids.
Hemorrhoids and dickhole stuff.
Yeah.
That's it. But not for chicks. Only dude dickholes.
Totally. Totally. And we could do 400 episodes on that. That's not, you know, we won't run dry.
One down. One down, my friend.
Great. Well, let this be the first. I really appreciate you coming on. And yeah, like you said, if any of your listeners want to check my show out, save it for the show.com.
Actually, I didn't say that, but continue.
I thought you said that. No, I said it in the beginning. Whatever. Look, I'm such a businessman. So let me sell myself here.
Save it for the show. I actually love that title, in all honesty.
Oh, thanks. If you like what you heard today, check it out.
You should. You should get in touch with Dan. I'm John of Papa's Basement. This was the 400th episode extravaganza. It's somehow a lower quality than average, not in terms of content, but the audio, I'm sure, is going to be dog shit after the fact.
No, but,
I don't care, and hopefully we can do another couple hundred, and then I will hang myself.
You promise on the 400th or 800th, you'll do it?
800. Get me to 800. Get me an audience, and I will kill myself.
That'll be the show that finally makes you a star.
Cruel irony. InPapa'sBasement.com is the show's website. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher and all that. Dan, thanks again, buddy, and we'll be in touch, I guess. I'll just shoot you an email later today.
My pleasure, John. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right, man. Bye.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.